are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So balancing religious traditions and practices can be one of the most challenging aspects of an interfaith marriage. Couples must find ways to honor both traditional traditions while creating new practices that reflect their shared values. In this discussion with Elder Isaiah De Katundu, we're going to be looking at exploring how to navigate and blend different religious practices in a way that respects both parties' beliefs. My Elder Muribwanch. I hope you're good, my Elder. Thank you so much for coming through to speak to us.
I'm well up today.
Indeed. I'm going to ask that before we start, can you please offer a word of prayer?
Okay, shall we pray? Our gracious and loving Father, we thank you for this time you have given unto us. Our desire is that you may be with us throughout this discussion and that you may help us to speak life through what we are going to say as you are going to use us, so that someone out there may be able to benefit as we are going to benefit. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Speaking of all things, finding a balance, I think even us that are in the same faith, we still need to find balances, you know, in our marriages. We work hard to balance everything, you know, that we're there. So when it comes to interfaith marriages, yeah, I think, yeah, it's a little bit more. But anyway, so how can couples, Mdalawami, identify and prioritize religious traditions, you know, that are important for each partner?
Yes. Before responding to this question, I took some time to think about it, and I got to realize that it's very complex of a subject that we are dealing with. So first and foremost, you get to realize to say there are two kinds of there are two kinds of Christians. There are those who are called liberal Christians, and there are those who are called conservatives.
Mm-hmm. Sorry about that.
Okay, and there are those who are called conservatives. So already, if somebody is liberal in their faith, they may be more accommodative. And if the other one is a conservative, they will ensure that they preserve what they believe as their... Yes, they as their beliefs. So in a situation where these two people, in a situation where any of these are put in a situation of an interfaith marriage, whatever we are going to discuss will reflect on how, from their perspective, they may be able to ensure that they work around something.
Yeah.
Yes. So... With that, I have stated the most important thing couples need to do is to openly discuss their religious traditions and rank the importance to each of them, although to each of them, and see how they can incorporate them in their marriage setting. For the conservative, it may be a bit more problematic, especially to accommodate. Maybe to accommodate some practices from the other person. So for instance, let's say we've got an Adventist here, and we've got somebody, let's say from a Pentecostal or maybe Catholic, from a Catholic faith background, and they are committed. So you realize to say there would be issues to do with maybe dressing and the like, which may have problems with somebody from the Adventist faith. Well, they may make some compromises to see. Well, they may work around something to say, okay, we are going to work with this and this. It may be a bit problematic in some cases. For instance, let's say somebody would go to a statue and they are venerating or just honoring somebody who died. But for you, is that from the Adventist point of view or faith, you have a problem with that. So it could be a bit more complicated. So on this one, there's just need for open discussion where people talk out things and see what would work out for them and what they would rank as important. But it's very, very complicated, and it's depending on which groups of people are in that marriage setting, I mean, from which faith backgrounds they come from, that would depend on how they would also come to something that would help them. And also the nature of the Christian that are involved. We have conservatives and we have liberals that are involved in this marriage setting, yes.
Okay. So looking at this interfaith marriage, my elder, what are some strategies that, you know, these couples can incorporate both religious and practices in their lives? What strategies can they use to say, okay, for example, you are Adventist, you're conservative, I'm Pentecostal, whatever, or I don't even believe in God at all, but we are already married, but let's incorporate this to make our family to be good and harmonious. What strategies could they use to achieve that?
Okay, so what they would do is to come up with a routine that honors, let's say, practices of each other's faith background. So, for instance, if you're an Adventist, you know there's that thing where we have family altars, vespers. So you need to have that. You incorporate that. Then if you have got somebody who is not an Adventist and they believe in issues of, let's say, long days of fasting and the like, you must also find a way to incorporate that so that even their views are also heard. So you just come up with a routine or a program that would blends both of your beliefs or your understandings about the faith.
Okay. All right. So how can, for example, the issues of negotiations there, in terms of adapting one's beliefs or one's traditions into mixing it, would communication be the key there?
Okay. To be honest on this one, many women have complained to say, for the men, they just practice authority to say, as long as you are married to me, you follow my church, whether you like it or not. So there are those challenges where there's no negotiating. We don't talk about it, but the other one just has to follow by force. Other women I've met some women who say it to say a woman has got no church unless she's got no church, and her church only gets to be the church which you have for the rest of her life after she gets married. So there are those issues of feminism here and there. So the issue of negotiating is to just when you come up with the practices and when you come up with what you establish as important, now we negotiate. You talk to each other in a way that you want to appropriate the importance to each program, in a manner that your friend or your partner should also see it as important as you see it. So as you begin to talk in those lines, there's some form of negotiating which now brings in the aspect of shared values, so that you ensure that all the needs of each parties are respected.
I like that. So Mpundisi, seeing that, when you get married, you know, you don't, as a person, you didn't fall from the sky and you were here,
Yeah.
Did I use that example? So you didn't fall from the sky and then you were here. You know, your families, So these families, our families, in English these days we call them extended families, but they're our families,
Yeah.
How can now both families, celebrate both faiths in a way that is meaningful and elusive, When I go with my husband to my mom's place, even though we believe this, they believe that, so that it's not a squabble, because sometimes there are remarks that are said to about other people's religions. How then do we do that without it being turning into something that is ugly?
Okay, it calls for a lot of understanding, and it calls for a lot of love, and it also calls for, primarily it's just understanding. If you have understanding of what the other party believes in and what they honor, you find a way to fit yourself in their position. Because to be honest, today you may be an Adventist, you may be from whatsoever church you are, but had you been born in a situation where it's not an Adventist situation, what are the odds that you would have been where you are today?
Mm.
So to some extent, that ability to choose where we want to be may come in a bit later in our lives. So what we're exposed to may influence our worldview, and we may hold that as truth. So as we are dealing with people from other faiths, we must be open-minded and we must be more understanding to see how best you can accommodate them.
You may continue.
So like I said, it gets to be more interesting. The tricky part is, what pairs of people do we have that are from these faiths? Because that also determines on how they would react to each to these things. Other than that, are you a conservative or you are a liberal? So how these may approach this may also show that differentiation.
So seeing that, let's say, taking yesterday's words into consideration, God is not in support of interfaith marriages. Fine. Seeing that there might be people, fine, or there are those that are already in this relationship, and there are those that are saying, Yazin, we hear you, Pastor and Zanele, but us, Pakati inside, we are getting married, you know. How can they now have that conversation or address potential conflicts that may arise because of their different religions? How then should they address those? And those that are already inside the marriage, you know, maybe they've not had the conversation, or maybe they've already, experienced those conflicts there, but how do they now have that discussion regarding those conflicts?
So first I'll begin with those that are about to be married, or those that are about to get married. I've had situations where women will complain to say, no, the man I married to said, my husband said, you allow me to go to my church, you give me this freedom, you do that. But once the marriage sets in, and the dynamics, let's say this husband, when they go to church, they expect everyone else as their wife by the side, and this man is always going alone. So in the end, starts forcing the wife to come to church. There are those dynamics that tend to. So in the end, because of failing to negotiate and ensure that your friend follows you at church, start forcing and all these other things that come into play. So there's a situation where one party turns against the other party on what was earlier agreed before they married, to ensure that they balance up with certain dynamics that would come along the way.
Mm.
So for those that are about to get married, or that are not yet married but they're from interfaith, it's tricky because the chances are you may be forced to leave your faith and join that of your husband, or it can be either way. So on this one, it's tricky. Somebody can be honest, but when it gets heated up during those days, they may change for you. So whatever the case, it's tricky on that one. Then for those that are already in this situation, the most important thing I would say is it's so hinging on how you resolve your conflicts, how understanding you are to each other, and what you want out of this at the end of the day. But it's tricky. It's very tricky, and it gets to be challenging for you to stand for something that you preach against. Because you may end up looking like a hypocrite, and you may end up being a person who is somewhat like you may end up being like somebody who is stabbing themselves in the back, standing for something that you are preaching against or that you don't support. So it's tricky.
Yeah.
Understanding should be there. Mm-hmm. Understanding should be there and open communication should be there, but it's tricky. It's very tricky.
Sure. Is that where now we would say, Mfundisi, that, you know, prayer will play a role? Ish. Yeah, I need this question. I don't know who you're praying to.
Yeah, you may pray.
Yes,
you may pray. But God will guide. But it's tricky. It's tricky. Okay, if the parties that are involved are not coming from faiths that are complicated, or that are not far from each other, Yeah, there would be a lot of compromise, but if it's but if it's those that are heated, like those that are complicated, those that have got a lot of dynamics to them,
mm-hmm.
the reality is that one, it's either one will be suppressed, or they will both go different ways.
Mm.
But them coming to a common ground, it will be tricky. That one, we should be honest about it. It's going to be tricky, especially if somebody is truly true to their belief system. It's going to be tricky.
Yeah.
Mm. Yes.
All right. Hey, this one is very quite challenging and tricky, as you have been saying. I'm going to ask that. Can you please pray for these marriages, you know, so that they may find the balance, and at the end of the day, you know, we can have a successful marriage.
All right. Shall we pray? Our God and our Father, which art in heaven, we thank you because you blessed the institution of marriage and you put some guidelines to ensure that men and women should follow them. We want to acknowledge that there are some that have done it the other way, but they are still your children. While we don't encourage them to go in the path that they have gone, we ask that you also visit them and see how best you can help them. With the dynamics that they have led to their lives, that could either ensure their ruin or also ensure their salvation, our desire is that you may find a way to help them so that they may be helped at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
In our own wisdom, we can't manage. And in our own understanding, we may fall short of giving them the best help that they need. But you understand them, you understand the dynamics that they are exposed to. May you come through for them in whatsoever spaces they may be in, and whatsoever situations, conflicts, and misunderstandings they may be facing. So that at the end of the day, there may be a balance, a common understanding, and a way to ensure that they too can thrive in their marriage relationships. Continue, dear Lord, ministering to your children. All this we pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mdala, thank you so much for coming through. May you have yourself a blessed day.
Have a blessed day too. Thank you.
You are tuned in to Mid Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.